The President Seeks to Soothe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke for American Public Media. Good to have you with us this morning as we continue with Fallout, our continuing coverage of the global financial crisis. Minutes ago, President Bush again tried to reassure Americans that the crisis will ease.
It took a while for the credit system to freeze up. It's going to take a while for the credit system to thaw. These are decisive measures aimed at the heart of our financial challenges. And they're big enough and bold enough to work.
President Bush will meet this weekend with two European leaders to discuss reform of the world's financial system. From Washington, John Dimsdale reports the Europeans may find a skeptical audience.
French President Nicolas Sarkozy and European Commission President José Manuel Barroso will ask President Bush to join them in a call for a global restructuring of bank regulations. The Europeans envision tighter capital requirements and better ways for regulators in one country to keep tabs on global banks. Nigel Nagarajan is the economics counselor at the European Union's delegation in Washington.
We need to be thinking about early warning systems that can provide signals to policymakers about when risks are building up and what actions they might need to take.
That includes more transparency for all bank operations from loans to reserves. But more government oversight, especially by foreigners, doesn't sit so well with some free market countries. Even some in Europe are reluctant to endorse tougher international regulations. Everett Ehrlich, the president of ESC Consulting, says President Sarkozy has some convincing to do.
The French don't have a major financial center within their purview, so as they say in wrestling, he's got a free move, and he can come up with whatever proposals without really having skin on the table the way that the Brits or the Americans do.
The White House is telling reporters not to expect any major announcements. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The price of oil has plunged to about half of what it was just this summer. OPEC is holding an emergency meeting next week to talk about cutting production. Carol Ahoyos covers the oil market for the Financial Times. She says a production cut is not a guarantee.
Well, there are still some OPEC members who feel that they'd rather not add problems to an already faltering economy by trying to prop up oil prices. And there are two very different camps within OPEC. Some countries like Iran and Venezuela that need a very high oil price and that in fact can't really pump much more crude oil anyway. And Saudi Arabia, that's much more friendly to the US and therefore will often argue differently. But the fact that they've called this emergency meeting in such a hurry does indicate that even Saudi Arabia may well now be on board to getting the ball moving.
What effect would that have on oil prices in this shaky world economy?
Now, if I knew the answer to that question, I would be a billionaire with my own island. But I think, unfortunately, it probably won't have as big of an effect as OPEC hopes it will. So far, OPEC is having to fight against some really bad news in the US as people drive less. And also, most critically, the engine of growth, China, and in fact, the Middle East itself may be slowing. So they've got a lot to make up for. And I think in the end, they'll probably be disappointed with the immediate reaction of the market.
Carol Ahoyos covers the oil market for the Financial Times. Carol, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Falling oil prices helped on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow is up 400 points, and the rally continues worldwide today with Asian markets mostly positive, European markets up 1-2%. Not a peaceful rally, though. Volatility is extremely high, what with recession fears. And a new report this morning shows construction of new homes in the U.S. fell in September by a bigger-than-expected 6.3% to the slowest pace since 1991.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
You know, we tend to throw the phrase Wall Street around as shorthand for our financial system, for the economy, our nest eggs. But what's it like to actually be in the place these days? Reporter Sally Herships gives us a taste of what you might find in those eight blocks of Lower Manhattan.
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Thanks to Gordon Gekko, people the world over have a very distinct idea of what Wall Street represents. Curran Palmer, Paul Binder Munn, and Susan Carey are in town from the UK. They know what they're looking for.
Business people in suits and big cars, Porsches, Mercedes, BMWs.
Yeah, and like people eating lunch at these really classy cafes where they charge $1 million for a sandwich. And they're still working while they're eating. The stereotype, I guess.
And what did you see instead?
Tourists.
Tourists and shoppers. People going to the gym, running errands, ducking in and out of the Starbucks, and the Tiffany's that recently opened at number 37. Retail outlets and residential buildings have sprung up on Wall Street as the big financial firms have moved uptown or out of town, and the number of men and women in business suits on the street has declined. Steve Fraser has written two books on Wall Street's history. He says when people talk about Wall Street, they're talking about a place and a concept at the same time.
As a metaphor for what American capitalism is all about, both in its worst aspects and in its best, Wall Street will always occupy a preeminent place in American life.
I mean, Wall Street's going to be Wall Street, you know.
Renu Sharma works in the area.
It's always going to be associated with financial institutes, but in terms of what Wall Street stood for, like 20 years ago, it's not the case.
Historian Steve Fraser's not so sure. He says Wall Street's residents may have changed, but its image is intact.
There's no place in the world that carries the emotional, political, economic significance in people's minds as does Wall Street.
Put it this way, you can take finance out of Wall Street, but you can't take Wall Street out of finance. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles and in a New York state of mind, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.